Good morning. Welcome. This is the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast. I'm Andy Eubank on the 8th of November, 2024. The Hat Podcast made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Visit ffbt.com to learn more. C.J. Miller and Sabrina Halverson have the news today, including Indiana's Kip Thom on ag policy under the Trump administration and gauging whether the farm bill will move before the end of the year. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin calls for sunshine, dry and mild weather today before some weekend rain chances. And Thursday, soybean futures strong before today's USDA WASDE update. Mike Silver in with market analysis on the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
Get profit-boosting knowledge from no-till experts, innovators, legends, and your fellow farmers at the 33rd Annual National No-Tillage Conference in Louisville, January 7th through 10th. The National No-Tillage Conference provides the practical tips and information farmers need to run a more successful and profitable no-till operation. This conference offers a mix of thought-provoking general sessions, collaborative no-till roundtables, and expert-led no-till classrooms with the likes of corn yield record holder Russell Hedrick, world-renowned soil biologist Jill Clapperton, 2024 Conservation Ag Operator Fellow and no-till legend Ray McCormick, and many more. Plus, pesticide recertification and certified crop advisor credits will be available to qualifying attendees. Register using promo code RADIO and save 10%. Learn more and register at notillconference.com. That's notillconference.com.
A preview of ag policies under the next Trump administration and focusing back again on the farm bill. I'm C.J. Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Well, now that President Trump is returning to the White House to serve as president, and that Republicans are set to control the U.S. Senate beginning in January, one of Indiana's top ag leaders says their ag policies will greatly benefit Indiana's farmers and rural Americans.
I think Trump is a world-class negotiator, and I'm confident that he'll support the U.S. agriculture economy.
And that's Kip Thom, former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations Agencies for Food and Agriculture under President Trump. He's also a farmer based in Kosciuszko County in northern Indiana. Ambassador Thom says that Trump will look at taking President Biden's current ag policies in a completely different direction.
We talked about trade. We went from nearly a $37 billion surplus in the early days of Trump to now we're projecting a $42 billion deficit in our food and ag trade. We know that farmers' incomes are off nearly 40% from 2022 to 2024. We know that regulations have grown by almost $1.67 trillion, and that's highly inflationary because when those regulations come into place or new taxes, that all gets handed back to the consumers or those of us in a space where we take the prices that we're given for our products. So I think those are three key areas that's got to get under control. I think Trump's going to focus on those.
And even though many farmers and ag professionals are concerned about the impact of tariffs and ag trade with Trump back in office, Thom says that Trump will not push for trade deals unless they benefit America's farmers.
I know that he understands the ag economy. He understands that 75% of the people that he would impact if he puts strict tariffs on are going to be impacted negatively. So he understands rural America. Now, as we look at those tariffs, let's understand something. Let's take the example of China. We're importing nearly $500 billion worth of goods and products from China. They're only buying $350 billion from us. What's fair about that? So I believe we really need to work hard to make sure that we have more of a balanced trade with countries like China. If they want to keep up their $500 billion in sales to us, well, they need to be buying more ag commodities.
Thom adds that Trump would not have been reelected if it wasn't for the support he received from rural Americans.
Nearly 75% of rural America, farmers and ranchers, those involved in food systems, those living in our rural communities, supported Donald J. Trump as the president of the United States. He knows that. We continue to remind him of that. And I feel strongly that President Trump wants to see and support a strong ag economy and rural America.
Ambassador Tom and I also discussed the farm bill and preserving tax cuts that are set to expire next year. And that's all part of our full conversation, which you can hear at HoosierAgToday.com. Well, speaking of ag policy, will your lawmakers in Congress pass a new farm bill now or wait until the new session of Congress starts in January? Sabrina Halverson reports how one ag leader says, let's pass it now.
While there is a ready, bipartisan-supported version released by House Agriculture Committee Chair Glenn G.T. Thompson, it remains unknown if it will pass before the new Congress begins.
There's a good bill out there. It's ready to move.
Ethan Lane, Vice President of Government Affairs for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, says the proposed bill is strong.
Look, G.T. Thompson has done a phenomenal job. He has crafted a really popular farm bill that was voted out of the House Ag Committee on a bipartisan basis. The farming community, the ranching community likes it. We just need to move the bill.
Whether the current political landscape either helps or hinders the farm bill's progression remains to be seen. With the Senate expected to shift under the new Republican voices and the House potentially remaining under Republican control, the bill stands a good chance of moving forward quickly in the new Congress. However, there's also the risk that competing legislative priorities in the new administration could delay it. And Lane points out, Democrats may want to push the bill through now to get a voice in before the new Congress takes over.
This isn't something that should need to be relitigated. The bill is there. It's just time to move it. Whether that's in lame duck or early in the new administration, we're going to be asking for that and pushing for it.
Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Sabrina Halverson.
And I'm C.J. Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Let's face it, operating a farm isn't going to get any less expensive this year. That's why an operating loan from Farm Credit MidAmerica is built to give you more cash back and more flexibility in how you are able to manage your funds. Learn more at fcma.com/operating and get an operating loan that pays you back. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit MidAmerica is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Got sunshine and dry weather in here as we finish out the week and start the weekend. Beautiful set of days today and tomorrow. Temperatures are mild and we see southwest flow dominating as we go into the weekend. I do think that we have to watch for a little bit of moisture as we move through the overnight tomorrow night and into Sunday. Right now I'm going to say anywhere from a tenth to three quarters of an inch. However, I also do not think that that is something that everybody sees. Most of us are probably going to be under half an inch pretty easily, and the moisture should be moving out already in a lot of areas by mid to late morning, early afternoon. So your Sunday clears out by late afternoon and evening, and then Monday, Tuesday of next week, we are sunny and dry. Next frontal boundary shows up on Wednesday, but it's a little bit delayed. I think we are partly to mostly sunny Wednesday morning through midday. Clouds increase in the afternoon. Showers coming through late afternoon, evening, and overnight. 100% coverage out of that front. Quarter to three-quarter inch rainfall totals. We all get wet, and we are slightly cooler behind that. Cold northerly flow tries to take over immediately overnight Wednesday night into early Thursday morning, but then it gets stymied real quick. So it's a strong north wind, and then all of a sudden the winds go west and it's not as cold of a flow pattern. By the late week, we are southwest in our flow and temperatures are warming back up quickly. So an immediate shot of cool temperatures, but then right back to well above normal levels, and we stay that way through the end of next weekend, through the 16th and 17th, and I think that we are very warm into the week of the 18th. No precipitation coming either for that stretch. I think from next Thursday, right on through probably the 18th and 19th, we see nothing. Minor system trying to come together in the west for midweek next week, hitting here. Maybe it can tap into some Gulf of Mexico moisture, but right now I am not bullish on a lot of moisture from late next week into the week of the 18th. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Corn squeaks out gains, beans higher, wheat a little lower. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Thursday Farm Market Review. I'll have final numbers coming up. We'll begin, though, with market analysis near the end of the session. For that, I spoke with Mike Silver of Kokomo Grain. Corn market back and forth, close to steady. Wheat a little lower, but let's start in the soybean market. That's the real story. As we get set for USDA supply and demand update, noon Eastern time Friday, trade seems to be trading that once again instead of the election. Beans, though, maybe an outlier, very strong Thursday.
Beans are trading very strong today, Andy, and that's based in part on some pretty good export sales numbers this morning, 2.037 million metric tons of soybeans announced. That is down a little bit from last week's 2.273. But from a technical standpoint, the January soybean futures went up and tested the resistance level that they needed to test. If we could get a good close today above that resistance level and then another one tomorrow, there could be some more life left in this soybean market. That also has helped support the corn market today, although we've traded both sides in the corn market. We're just fractionally higher now about 15 minutes to the close. And as you said, the wheat market is down. But corn today, the export sales number came in at 2.766 million metric tons. That's a very strong number. Last week, we were at 2.341. And the range of estimates today was 1.7 to 2.5. So that is another really good weekly export sales performance for corn and really not so bad for soybeans. The wheat number came in at 374. That's down from last week's 411. But still, that was mid-range of the estimates. Now, if we look at look ahead a little bit to tomorrow's USDA report, I want to say that the market kind of expects that we'll see USDA increase our export projection, because as of today, we're 10% ahead of the pace needed to reach USDA's target that they outlined in the October report. So it will not be a surprise to the market tomorrow if we raise the export projection, which ultimately should lower the ending stocks number for August 31st of next year. The soybeans still lag the pace needed to meet the export projection of USDA by about 2%. But USDA will give us their numbers tomorrow at noon, and there is not much expectation of major changes, except the one that I just mentioned, possibility of some export improvement projection in the corn. You know, yields have been all over the place. It depends on who you talk to. Some folks, set record yields this year, but I'm just going to say that in general, the consensus statement is that the corn and soybean yields, for that matter, were not as great as we expected going into the now nearly finished soybean and corn harvest. For all practical purposes, soybean and corn harvest is done, although there are still some acreages in certain areas of the state and the country that need to be harvested. So we're not 100% yet, but still well ahead of the pace, the five-year average pace of harvest for both corn and soybeans. Going into that midday release of the USDA numbers tomorrow in corn, the average trade estimate is 183.8 bushels an acre. And if we look back to the August, we were 183.8. So the average trade guess is the same as the October is the last month we had, the October yield projection. The production number, average trade estimate is 15.196. That's still a big crop. Soybeans, the yield estimate is 52.8, and October was 53.1. So production estimate is 4.555 billion bushel. So the trade really doesn't expect that many changes, but we know that USDA can throw surprises at us. That's their history. But certainly that's the next piece of information from a supply and demand standpoint that we'll get. Now, at 3 o'clock this afternoon, we're supposed to get an announcement from the Fed as to whether we're going to get an interest 25 basis points decrease in the interest rate. It remains to be seen whether that's going to happen or not, but at least that's the expectation from the Fed this afternoon. So it's been an interesting week, Andy, to say the least. Presidential election came in. We know the outcome of that. The ultimate finish of how that's all going to play out is going to be determined in the months and years to come once President-elect Trump takes office. Hopefully we'll get something resolved quickly on the appointment of an agricultural secretary, and we can get the farm bill moving. But there's not much chance of anything happening with the farm bill until we get into 2025, and certainly the agricultural industry is looking forward to that. Andy, harvest is about at a wrap, and we know that we've seen some upward movement in the corn futures market and the soybean futures, a little bit more in the soybeans than the corn. Thanksgiving's, two weeks away, Andy? Today's the 7th, then the 14th, and then the 21st, and then the next Thursday, the 28th, is Thanksgiving. And we certainly have a lot to be thankful for this year. The harvest wasn't quite as good as we thought it was going to be, although some folks did post record yields. But it was a good harvest. It was a short harvest. And we have seen some price recovery. So I'm having a lot of conversations with people as we now know what our fall prices are for crop insurance, and folks are submitting their claims. And I would encourage folks to remember that the end of the insurance period is December the 10th, which isn't that far off. So we spend a lot of time in the field, and right now farmers are spending a lot of time behind their desks catching up on paperwork and revising their marketing plans and getting offers into the market and calculating what the plans are going to be for 25. So won't be too long, Andy, and we'll get to do it all again when we approach planting season of 25. We've got to get through a couple holidays first, Thanksgiving holiday, and we're grateful certainly going into that holiday. We've got to get through the inauguration of President Trump, and then it won't be too long, just several months, we'll have the planters rolling again after we've got the combines back in the shed and corn the grain bins and taking advantage of any pricing opportunities that present themselves.
Mike Silver of Kokomo Grain. Mike's number is 800-666-0613. Now, the Thursday final numbers. Dease corn, a penny and a quarter gain, 427 and a half. March, 440 and a half, a gain of a penny and a half. May, up 2 cents, 447 and three quarters. Jan beans, 22 and a half better, 1026 and a quarter. Almost 23 cents higher on the March at 1037 and a half. May goes to 1050 and three quarters, up 21 and a half cents. Just a little lower in the wheat market. December, 571 and a half, down almost 2 cents. March down an even two at 589. Meats mostly higher. December live cattle 42 up at 185.82. December lean hogs down 92, 81.20. Deferred contracts, though, did go higher. I'm Andy Eubank with the Thursday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.